And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is potpourri. All three of my guests have very interesting subjects, no two wit of which are exactly alike. My first guest came in and talked to us about rising oil prices worldwide and the impact that that's going to have on the world economies. My next guest is here to give us recommendations that could literally save our lives during an earthquake. This morning, as you may know, there was a 6.9 magnitude earthquake in Japan. We still don't know the damage or the casualties that this earthquake caused, but you can imagine it's going to be very extensive. Taking simple precautions before an earthquake strikes means the difference between surviving or being a statistic. If you have any questions about earthquake preparedness for our guest, or if you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Ava Avedisian is here from the American Red Cross to talk to us. Hi, Ava. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm terrific. Thanks so much for coming in, particularly on a day like today where you're bound to be very, very busy. Have you noticed an increase in activity simply because of the Japan earthquake?
We have been busy. We've been working with the county and the cities and, of course, the Red Cross, making sure that we're prepared and we're able to respond if needed.
Okay, good. Now, for listeners who might just be tuning in, might not know the news-breaking story, there's an earthquake and a tsunami in Japan today, and that reminds us that we in California, we live on a fault line as well. So what can you tell us about the earthquake in Japan, and what do you know so far from the American Red Cross?
Well, the earthquake in Japan was an 8.9, and there has been a lot of damage reported. The Japanese Red Cross is currently assessing the impact. They have deployed 11 national disaster response teams, and they're gathering the information. They're expecting a high death toll, and as the information from the assessment comes in, they expect that number to rise. The Japanese Red Cross hasn't requested international services at this time, so the American Red Cross isn't providing assistance. We are accepting donations on behalf of the Japanese Red Cross, but we're just on standby to provide assistance if and when the request comes in for them.
All right. Now, I misspoke at the outset. I said it was a 6.9. It was actually an 8.9. Big, big difference there. Some people listening might say, well, that's only 2 points on the Richter scale. How big of a difference can that be? But it, in fact, is a big difference. Can you explain to my listeners what that difference is?
Each point up is about 1,000% increase. So that's a huge impact.
It's an order of magnitude of 1,000% each percentage point that you go up. So that is really literally hundreds of thousands of times more impactful than a 6.9 earthquake. So very devastating there as well. Now, you say that you're taking donations, the American Red Cross is taking donations for the earthquake relief in Japan, but Japan hasn't requested it. Let's say I gave you $5 today for earthquake relief and Japan doesn't ask for help. Where does my money go?
If you designated it for Japan relief, then it would potentially go back to you, or we would contact you and find out if you'd like it to be designated for a future disaster or other international disaster relief.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know. Now, many listeners may not know that there's a small fault line that actually runs directly underneath the 300 block of West Main Street here in Ventura. So we live with a constant threat of an earthquake in Ventura City. Most people, though, myself included in this, were unprepared. Why do you think most of us are typically unprepared for an earthquake before it happens?
We like to think it won't happen to us. But the reality of it is we are in a very in an area that does have a lot of earthquake potential, and we've seen a number of earthquakes, so it is very important for us to get prepared beforehand.
Well, how does one go about getting prepared, Ava?
There are a couple main points that the Red Cross likes to promote, and first of all, we just encourage people to get a kit. Get a disaster kit, put some key items in there, food, water, medication, important documents, flashlights, radios, things like that. Once you have a kit, then we encourage you to make a plan and discuss that plan with your family so everyone knows how you evacuate, where you go, how you connect and communicate in case the communication lines are down. And then we just encourage people to stay informed. So find out, connect with the Red Cross and talk with other organizations to find out how to stay informed.
All right, so have an emergency plan. What's involved in an emergency plan, just for people who maybe never thought about this before? What would you put into an emergency plan?
You'd want to think about potential threats to your home and your workplace. Think about where you spend most of your time. So you might be at work, the kids might be at school. How are you going to connect after an earthquake? Who's going to be responsible for picking up the kids? If you have damage to your home, where are you going to go? Do you have family outside the area? Are you going to come to a Red Cross shelter if those are open? So you want to think through some of those things.
Well, you bring up an interesting point because Japan's earthquake hit in the middle of the day over there. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were at work, and, of course, children were at school. And so families were separated. So as part of your escape plan that you talk about, you want to have some sort of rendezvous point where everybody's going to come together and meet so that they all know to go there, even if phones are down. Because what about phone mm-hmm. service, particularly mobile phone service during an earthquake? How reliable is that going to be?
You know, it usually stays up, but what happens is it just gets inundated with calls, so it's hard to get a call through. And actually, because of that, we recommend that you have an out-of-area contact. It's easier to make a long-distance call than it is to make a local call. So if you have Aunt Millie in Texas, and everyone knows to call Aunt Millie and check in with her, and she just reports back and lets you know that everyone's been accounted for.
Better hope that Aunt Millie's home when the phone calls come. But that's good advice. So call out of the area code if you want to use that as sort of a central clearinghouse for the information as well. Now, at the outset, you said earthquake kit, and you want to put some things in an earthquake kit. Tell me, what is in an earthquake kit? Should you have one earthquake kit for the house and one for the car? Tell me a little bit more about that.
Exactly. Well, one of the great things is it doesn't just have to be an earthquake kit. It's a disaster kit, and you can use it for any situation. So it could be great for an earthquake. It could also be very beneficial for something like a tsunami if you have to leave quickly. So we actually recommend three different types of kits. We recommend that people have a go kit, and this is just something that you keep by the bed, and if there's a fire in the middle of the night, you just grab it and run out of the house, and you have a few key items. We also recommend that people have a car kit or a workplace kit, and this is something we spend a lot of time in our cars as Southern Californians, probably more than we'd like sometimes. But have food, water, have a change of clothes in your car or at your place of work. Have one with the kids at school. And then we also recommend you have a larger kit at home. Those 50-gallon trash bins work great, a large suitcase. Have water. You want to have canned goods. Don't have food that you wouldn't normally eat. So if you don't normally eat sardines, don't put that in your disaster kit. You're not going to want to eat them in a disaster. But keep non-perishables, and you're just going to rotate those items out. You want to make sure you have a flashlight. You want to make sure you have a radio. But you want to make sure you write down what those key radio stations are that are going to be providing you with emergency information.
Such as KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County.
Exactly.
Thank you for that shameless plug. All right, so you want to have a radio in there. Any thoughts on whether you need to have a battery-operated radio or a hand-crank radio?
The hand crank is great just because we never know when a disaster is going to occur, and so you don't want those batteries to be dead right when you need them. So the hand crank is great, and they have some awesome hand crank radios now that you can also plug in your cell phone and charge them, and they're also solar powered, and they have all kinds of neat features.
Well, batteries, and then that brings up the whole idea of rotation, because batteries go bad, food goes bad, water, believe it or not, goes bad, so you have to rotate that out as well. So how does one who is very reluctant to even put together an earthquake kit come up with a regimen so that they will constantly, religiously, effectively change the batteries, change the food, change the water like they need to? Any tips there?
You know, most of the items that you'd want in a kit you have in your house already. And so you just want to, as you run out of food normally, you just move the food from your kit into your household supply, and then you purchase more, put it in your kit, and just keep rotating. It's pretty easy.
All right, but my problem is out of sight, out of mind. I put the kit in the car, boom. I know it's there, and I'm confident that I've got a kit, but then I forget about it because I'm doing other things.
You know what? On Sunday is daylight savings, and so those are great times to go through your kits and to make sure that the food, the water hasn't expired. Make sure that you update any of your medical information, your key documents.
All right, fair enough. Now, it's interesting because with the Japan earthquake, they had the earthquake followed by the tsunami. And the tsunami gave us great warning. I mean, we knew, hey, the tsunami's leaving Japan. The tsunami's approaching Samoa. The tsunami's approaching Hawaii. And eventually it got here to the West Coast. There's lots of advanced warning. With an earthquake, there is very little, if no, advanced warning at all. So tell me about this, if you will, Ava. How do you react once the earthquake hits? Because you're going to be stunned. You're going to be startled, obviously confused, dazed. What do you do? What are some of the first things you want to think about?
First of all, you just want to drop. You want to get as low as possible, and you want to get under a large, sturdy object. So drop, cover, and hold on. So a lot of times people drop, they cover, but they forget to hold on, so they might be under the table, but as the earth keeps shaking, that table's now halfway across the room, and they're exposed. So make sure you're doing all three components.
All right, drop, cover, and hold on. I like that. What else, though? Now, the earthquake has settled. Your nerves are frayed. And you're wondering, when's the next aftershock going to come? Is that all that there was? You know, all of those kinds of questions are running through your mind. But at the same time, you've got to be thinking, all right, what am I going to do next? What are some of the things that you should think of immediately after the shaking stops?
First of all, you want to make sure that everyone around you is safe. And if they're not, see if you can provide any assistance. And that's why it's really beneficial to make sure that you're trained in CPR and first aid. Otherwise, from there, you just want to make sure that you get out of the building and stay in a clear area. If you are going to stay in the house, go through the house and see what items that aren't secure that you can take down that might be potential threats in an aftershock. A lot of times in earthquakes, the electricity goes out, and people oftentimes want to light a candle. That's the worst thing you can do.
Because why is that?
We have aftershocks, and an aftershock might knock that candle off.
Oh, okay. I hadn't thought about
fire.
I hadn't thought about knocking the candle off. I thought you were going to go a different direction. What about water and gas? Should people be concerned about shutting both of those off in the event of an earthquake?
Yes, and we actually encourage you to keep some tools in your disaster kit that will allow you to turn those off. And so the flashlight is helpful for that, so you can go and see where your water and electric turn off is. Those are really important things to try and figure out ahead of time and identify where those are, because if you do need to turn them off and you've never even looked at your gas heater, your water, it's going to be difficult to do that. So figure that out ahead of time. Just take a look. Find out where it is.
Always a good idea. We're talking to Eva Avedisian here from the Red Cross. We're talking, of course, about earthquake preparedness in the wake of the Japan earthquake that happened just yesterday. Now, Eva, after the event happens, you're going to rendezvous with your family. What should some of the next steps be? Suppose the house is destroyed. What's going to happen then? What are some of your alternatives?
In an earthquake, the Red Cross is going to be opening shelters in conjunction with the county, EOC, and also the different cities. People in an earthquake might be deciding to sleep in front of their yard, in front of their house, or they can come to a Red Cross shelter, and food, water, all of those items will be provided there for you.
What about issues like looting? I mean, does that come up after a natural disaster like that? That's something that we should be concerned about here in California?
It does occasionally come up. And you can take your personal items with you, but the sheriff's department, they'll be working closely monitoring that.
I will be taking my big screen TV with me as I go down to the Red Cross shelter. All right, Ava. Now, the Japan earthquake, when it happened midday, so most people, as I said earlier, were at work or at school. And it's something that I don't give a lot of thought about sitting here in the studio, but what if the big one happened while we are here? I don't often think about what is my escape plan, what would I do here at work. So give us some tips about people who are at work, and many people are listening to the sound of our voice at work. What should they be thinking about right now in their offices to better prepare themselves for the big one?
I'd encourage you to look around you and see what potential threats are in your office. Are there large bookshelves? Are there windows that could potentially, the glass could break and you could be harmed? So think about those things. Make sure you have some supplies. Make sure you have that disaster kit under your desk that has some food, water. I make sure I have a change of shoes because most of the time at work, I'm in high heels and a skirt. So I have a change of clothes in case I do need to walk home or in case I'm stuck at the office for a couple hours or a day even.
You'd be a well-dressed refugee if you wore your high heels. So that's good. All right. Now, after an earthquake happens, you've got to pretty much be prepared to be without some of your basic services, water, electricity, maybe even fire and police. How long typically should you be prepared to be without some of those basic necessities?
At the very least, 72 hours. We're really encouraging people to look at being self-sustainable for about 2 weeks just because of...
At a minimum, 3 days, and you're really suggesting 2 weeks? All of a sudden, my kit that I keep in my car or I keep in my house is going to start looking more like a food locker rather than just a kit if I've got enough food for 2 weeks. Is that the new minimum now?
72 hours is really the minimum, but we encourage people up to about 2 weeks. Wow. It's always better to be more prepared than underprepared, and that way you have a little bit of trade power as well. You can help the neighbors out.
That's always a good thing. All right. So we've talked about connecting with our families. We want to be able to connect with the families, have a central meeting point, call your Aunt Sally in Texas to use her as a clearinghouse for all of that sort of thing. Now, and we've talked about mobile phones, which is also very good. What does the American Red Cross do following an emergency to help out in situations like this? What are some of the services that we could expect from you?
The Red Cross is going to be providing shelter. We're going to be providing food, food distribution sites, water distribution sites, things like that. So we will most likely have shelters open. We'll be working with the county and the emergency responders to provide those basic services to the community.
All right, good. Now, where are the Red Cross offices located here in Ventura County?
Our office is located in Camarillo on Calle Plana.
Calle Plana, yeah. Mm-hmm. And if they wanted to get a hold of you by telephone, how would they call you?
Our number is 805-987-1514.
987-1514 in the area code 805. And you guys talk about kits and being prepared and having some of the basics things in place. You can actually help people like me who are procrastinators out, can't you? Because you have pre-made, prefabricated, if you will, kits mm-hmm. that are available. Tell me a little bit about that, because you have a variety from which to choose.
We do. We have first aid kits for you. We have first aid kits for the pets. We have disaster kits anywhere from 3 days for one person to four people, all kinds of different things. So if you just want a one-stop shop, grab your kit and go. Or if you want to make a kit at home, grab a duffel bag and throw items in there.
Now, the kits that you make, are they free? And can I just walk in and say I'd like my free kit, or is there a cost associated?
There is a cost associated.
All right. All right. But if people are interested and they want to learn more about the costs associated, you'd have them call what number?
987-1514, or they can go on our website at www.arcventura.org.
All right. Ava, just a little briefly before we have to let you go, give us a little history about the American Red Cross. How long have they been serving the United States, and how long has the Red Cross office been here in Ventura?
The Ventura County chapter has been here for almost 95 years.
95 years?
So they've been doing a great job.
You don't look a day over 20, so that's great. All right, we've been talking to Ava Avedisian, everybody, from the American Red Cross about earthquake preparedness. If you do have questions about being prepared for an earthquake, Red Cross is really your best source for that information. Jump online, Red Cross, AmericanRedCross.com, I believe, will get you there. Also, there's a Ventura chapter website. What is that Ventura chapter website?
www.arcventura.org.
arcventura.org. And the telephone number once again?
987-1514.
987-1514. That's been great. Thank you so much for being our guest, Ava. We appreciate it. Thank you for coming in and sharing this information, because it is really important after we see what happens in Japan that we ourselves are prepared for that sort of thing. So
absolutely.
Thanks so much for coming in.